be with you this morning. We're going to be studying out of Psalms 19, as you can tell from our scripture reading this morning. And it's one of those psalms that brings us to the creation of God. And we'll be talking about this is my Father's world and the things that bring us the foundation of our faith. And definitely that is our Father's world. I'd like to start this morning with a sort of a quote, sort of like we did last week with the one from Yogi Berra, this one from Albert Einstein. Two things are infinite: the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the universe. That's sort of a little humor maybe to start with this morning, but both those two ideas we'll see as we go through our lesson today. There's an awful lot of times when we make wrong decisions and we take on the wrong path. And one of the themes we've had last year, and hopefully we'll go through this year, is the importance of choosing the right path. That there are two paths. As Jesus says, there's a wide path, an easy path, the path that most people take, but it leads to destruction. But there's a narrow path, and it's not that easy, but it's there, and that's the path that leads to life. And that's what we've been looking and considering as we go through the Scriptures, the path that truly leads to life. Even though it's so easy to take the other path, we can take the path that leads to life. Last week, we looked at the parable, sometimes called the parable of the pounds. In our new translations, instead of pounds, it uses minus or minus. And it's just a amount of money that for 2 or 3 months. And if you remember from the parable, the nobleman gave each of his servants enough money to go off and do business for 2 to 3 months. And the first couple come back and they use that money wisely and he rewards them. And we understand the idea that the Lord gives each of us abilities, and we're to use those abilities for Him. And when we do, He rewards us. But the third servant comes in, and he hadn't wasted his money. He hadn't used it unwisely. He hadn't done anything with it. He just sort of put it up on a shelf and kept it, and he was condemned. And he was condemned because he didn't trust his master. He didn't trust his Lord. And that's where we're headed today, is do we trust our Lord? And the trust in the Lord starts with, do we really believe in the Lord? And for this weekend and in this year, we're talking about the foundations of our belief in God. Because if we don't believe in God, we're not going to trust God. And if we don't trust God, we're not going to be the kind of people that we should be. Now, I know most of you come here today to worship God. Don't we believe in God? And we do, but we need to make sure that foundation is the foundation of our lives, that belief in God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Hebrew writer says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him," that is God. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him." Now, there's two ideas there, but we need to think about, do we truly believe God exists and not just go along with the things of this world? Too much of time in this world, Christianity has sort of shown it, well, that's sort of a superstition that you can sort of have that if you need it, but we know better now. And what we'll be trying to show is we know better now. We know that there is truly a God and that there is evidences for our faith. In his book, William Lane Craig, who's written a number of books on believing in God, his what he considers his foremost book, the name of the book is Reasonable Faith. And his basic premise is that faith in God is reasonable. It's rational. It's not some superstition. It's not something you just believe because you want to believe it. But based upon all the evidences that we have before us, it's a reasonable way to live. In fact, I believe it's the most reasonable way to live. That we believe in a God, and He rewards those who seek Him. We know God rewards us. I'm not saying that He fixes all our little problems. Most of the little things we pray for are temporary problems. God uses those to mold us in the kind of people we should make. But He does reward us in giving us the true life, both now and for all eternity. And that's what we'll be considering today as we go through. And I'd like to start with a little diagram, and just follow me through with this diagram. The first one is we believe the universe exists. Well, we're here, so we know it exists. And if it does exist, then it means it either had a beginning or it didn't have a beginning. Now, what might surprise you is throughout the history of what we might call civilization, one of the primary bases is that many people believe the universe has always been, that it's eternal. And it's easy to sort of see that idea, that we think the universe is eternal, that it's always been, always will be. I mean, it sort of appears that way to us. We can't think of any time when it wasn't here or any time when it wouldn't be here. But today, even modern science, and especially, of course, our scriptures tell us that our universe had a beginning, that it's not infinite in either time, nor is it eternal in time or infinite in space, that it had a beginning. What we sometimes call the standard model says it this way, and as a theory of men, this will change over time. Theories of men always do. We revise our understanding, but the Word of God doesn't change. The standard model basically says that at the instant of creation, or the instant of the beginning of our universe, nothing existed. Not time, not energy, not matter. It wasn't like all this stuff was a blob and it changed. Nothing existed. And the last part of that, which I can't say that I can completely understand, space itself did not exist. Now, that's the theory of man. It's based upon our best understanding. It's based upon our observation, especially some of the modern measurements made by some of the spacecraft. But the Bible puts it very simply. And as theories of men will come and go, and they will change over time, the Word of God doesn't change. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that word created means that not that He molded it out of something else, but that before He created it, it did not exist. And that's where our universe is. It had a beginning. Scientists today believe it had a beginning, and of course we, believing in God, believe it had a beginning. But that's caused a lot of problems for a lot of scientists. One of them was even Albert Einstein. He had problems accepting the idea that the universe had a beginning, because if the universe has a beginning, then it has to have a cause for that beginning, because something doesn't just happen out of nothing. And so if there was nothing here before the beginning, what caused it? And that's where we believe, it's rational belief, that cause, of course, was God. Because you see in the cause, it wasn't just a chaotic cause. We see order. We see design. We see purpose in the universe. And all of that points that it had a cause, and that cause was an agent. We're talking about more of this in the weeks to come. And the last one I won't talk about much today, but some of our songs already mentioned it. If that was a cause and it had a particular cause, then it had to be the personal or impersonal. And I believe the universe shows it was a personal, because you see the order and the design in the universe. It's not random. It's not chaotic. There's laws that govern the universe. Where did these come from? And you see that is a personal God that we serve. And one of the ideas that go through a simple chart like this is to show that belief in God is a rational and reasonable based upon all the evidence that we have. This is not a superstition or some cult that's way out in left field. This is based upon the scientific, the best we have today, says that belief in God is reasonable and rational. And that's what we'll be looking at today when we look at Psalms 19, because that's what the psalmist tells us, is that the creation is a reasonable thing to believe in. Look with me first, though, at Romans chapter 1. And notice what Paul says in Romans 1. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," or the wickedness of men, "who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And we see that today. We could talk much more about that. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, and namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived or seen ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." What Paul is saying is, you just look at the creation and you can see that there was a creator. The heavens declare the beauty of God, and they declare His divine nature, and they declare that God is truly there. that he is an eternal God. And Paul calls the creation in Psalms 19:2 as a witness to God. And so we know as we observe the great creation that it is a true witness, that the things we see we can believe because they show us and point to us the divine nature of our God. There's another verse in Romans that we're going to look at now. And it's one of those verses I memorized when I was a kid and I've heard all of my life. But when you read through it today, I hope you'll have a little more understanding of that verse than I ever did before. If you look over to Romans chapter 10, notice what Paul says here. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Everybody doesn't obey God's word. Sort of goes the idea of how stupid some people can be. When God's word is there for them, they don't obey it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Now that verse I've heard all my life. For faith comes from hearing the word of God. In fact, it's one of those verses that most of the time we memorize. But I want you to notice what Paul says right after that verse, or with that verse. He says, but I ask, have they not all heard? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Now, that's a quote from Psalms 19 that we just read a few minutes ago. And it has to do with the idea that the creation is visible to everyone, that the stars shine across the entire world. In other words, what Paul is saying is that the message going out in the Word of God is not just the written Word, though it is that written Word, but the creation itself is called here the Word of God. And so our faith then comes from the message of God as seen in His Word and in His creation. Paul brings both of those two, and we see both those ideas in Psalms 19. Both of these add to our faith. When we see the creation of God. I read an article a few weeks back, and it talked about the Grand Canyon, which I have never actually been to myself. But the article said that if you interview people that stand and look at the Grand Canyon, they believe in God. It's hard for somebody to stand there and look into such a tremendous valley as the Grand Canyon is and not realize that there's a creator. And this was just in the secular press. This wasn't in a religious magazine. But the idea was that when people see the great things of creation, it brings them into a belief into God. And that's really where Psalms 19 leads us, is that when we see the creation, we see God. Look at the beginning of the psalm again. We're only going to go through a little bit of this psalm. But during this week, take some time and read through the whole Psalm 19. Because there's other passages are of it, and it all builds our faith. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day and night they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. For there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Now, we take for granted that you can go out in the nighttime sky and see the stars. But have you ever thought about that? That in itself is a gift of God, that you can walk out and see the stars of the sky. You've probably seen pictures. If you've got a telescope, you can look over and look at Venus. Venus is a planet about the same size as we are, about the same distance from the Earth. But if you look at Venus, it's always covered with heavy clouds. So if you were to stand on Venus, you would never see a star in the sky. You look at, even in Florida, if you go out in the summer sky and you look up, there's some, you can see some stars, you can see the Big Dipper and a few others, but you go up into the mountains of North Carolina when the air is really thin, or go out west where they have no humidity, and you see a ton more stars. And you realize that the humidity in the earth here, clouds, we still see some stars, but not as many. But you can also think, if our atmosphere was just a little bit different, you might not see any stars at all. God has placed us on an earth so that we can see those stars that He's created. Many of the blessings that we almost take for granted are a great blessing from our God, that we can, anywhere you go in this world, you can see those stars in the sky. In Psalms 19, it goes on down and talk about the sun, how the sun goes across all the earth and gives us all warmth. But you realize if the earth was just a little bit different, that wouldn't be true. The earth, we know, spins around like a top, and if it was exactly perpendicular to the sun, then the poles would never see the sun. But the earth is tilted just a little bit. And because it's tilted just a little bit, the sun can be seen everywhere on the earth, some parts of the year. Some parts of the year, of course, the poles are in darkness. And that's what Psalms 19 talks about, that the sun goes across, and everyone can see the sun and feel its warmth. These are blessings from God, but this also is the idea that all of us can see the creation that God has given to us, and that this creation comes from God and is a great blessing. And sometimes I think we take some of these things so much for granted because we've been born and we've raised with it, and we don't think about. We don't think about the fact that we walk out and we can see all those stars up there. And by looking at those stars, we know that God placed them there, and we know that there is a Creator God. And it can build our faith. And sometimes as you go through life and things aren't going quite the way you want, take a step back and look at the creation and let that creation build your faith in God. Take a walk on the beach and look at the ocean, or take time just to look at the great, wonderful creation that God has given to us. But Psalms 19 doesn't stop with the creation. It then goes into the Word of God, the second way that God reveals Himself. God has revealed Himself in two ways to us. One, through the creation, and second, through His Word. If you look at the psalmist, the next part of the psalm goes into the Word of God itself. It says, "The law of the Word, Lord, is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold." If you look just very quickly at sort of what he's saying in these verses, the word of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. One of the things in scriptures is there are a number of words used for life. One of the words that most of the time is used for life sort of means all life. Whether or not it's animal or man, it's all that spark of life that God becomes only from God. There's another word that's sometimes used for life, and it means that life of an individual. And usually we translate that as soul. And it simply means the life of a person, not just life of everybody, but of that particular person. And that's what the psalmist says here. He says, the word of God is perfect. It gives life to your soul, to you. And each one of us needs that to be revived at times. And we need the way that the Word of God can revive us. The Word of God is trustworthy. There's an awful lot of things you hear today. With the Internet, you can read anything you want to hear. And sometimes you don't, do I believe that or do I believe this? You can believe God's Word. It's trustworthy. It's always giving wisdom. That wisdom is there whether or not we always accept it or not. The Word of God gives us wisdom. And it's right. Gives joy to the heart. Not happiness. Sometimes we look at happiness, and sometimes we're happy. You know, our football team might win, and we're happy that day. The next week, they don't. They play like turkeys, and they lose, and we're not so happy. Joy is not like happiness that comes and goes. Joy is that good feeling that everything is right, that comes only from that peace with God. That's the joy that he's talking about. It doesn't something that comes and goes, but it's that firm, good feeling that you know you have a right relationship with God. And that comes from his word. Radiant. It gives a way to live. It gives light to our feet. It gives us how to walk, how to live each day. And it pure, it endures forever. We looked somewhat at some of the theories of men as we go through the different things, and all the science that we have is constantly changing. But God's Word is pure. It endures forever. And it's sure. The things of this world aren't sure. Gold, even gold itself. If you had invested in gold last year and now this year, you realize gold's gone down like 40% or something. Even the things that we think in this world are sure, Jesus says moth and rust corrupt everything. Thieves break in and steal. Nothing in this world is sure, but God's Word is sure, and it gives us life. And that's what the psalmist wants you to see, is accept those things that are lasting, that are sure, that you can build your life on. Because the things of this world aren't that way. They come and they go. They're not sure. They don't give you that foundation that you receive from God. This morning, think about the words of Paul and the psalmist in Psalms 19. And know that the creation, we know there is a God. We see His order. We see His purpose. And I think most of all, if you really look at the creation, you see the love of God. He didn't have to give us all the kind of things He gave us, all the tremendous beauty of this nature, but He did. And I think He did it because He loved us. He loves us each and every one. The second idea that the psalmist gives us is that the Word of God leads to true life. The things of this world don't. The ideas of this world, they come and they go, but they don't give you that foundation. But the foundation can be found in the Word of God. Man was not made for the law or even for this creation. The creation was made and the law was given to us. And that shows us the love of God. Go through this week and look at Psalms 19. And at a quiet time, read through this whole passage. It doesn't take very long. But think about the great creation and the Word of God and how that can give our lives foundation. This year we're looking at thinking about where we're going with our lives. And I want you to think about what road you're on. Are you on the wide road of this world that leads to destruction, or on that narrow road that leads to life? The narrow road is offered to us all. It's up to us to choose it, to choose life, to choose Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, to put Him on in baptism and walk after Him every day of our lives. If you've never done that, there's not a better time to do it than today. If you have done that, then think about this year, truly living the kind of life that Jesus calls us to live. Being the kind of servant where we learn to serve and love one another. Think about those two great commands, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And to truly do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Think about living for eternity and not just for today. Live truly for our Lord. If you had need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
To God be the glory, great things He has.